I just mentioned Van Halen, a little Panama. I wonder if our next guest was blasting that in his golf cart when he was, well, didn't necessarily, I learned earlier today, didn't participate in these media day golf scrambles way back then because he's not a golfer. But I learned earlier today that our next guest was not in charge of driving the golf cart. That was apparently Craig Elo's job. But it was his job to do a drive-by pickup of the golf balls. You ever seen that? Have you seen that done before?
Sure.
Have you done that before?
I've not done that. I'm not an aficionado of the golf courses. I'll say that.
It's a lot harder
is it?
Than it looks. But I'm confident that Rick Nolan with the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette did a wonderful job of picking up those golf balls on the drive-by pickup technique. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing well. That was the only service I made to that foursome the entire afternoon. Other than that occasion, I think I handed Craig another beer, too, during the afternoon.
Most important job of the day.
I was about to say, the beer passer is always a very important role, especially when it comes to a golf scramble, because if your golf game goes down south in a hurry, you've at least got that to fall back on, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're playing with, I played that day, I can't remember who the fourth member of our foursome was, but Kent Benson, who was like 6'10", 275, was one of them, and Craig Elo was the other. So I don't know if we ever used any of my shots other than if they let me tap in a 8-inch putt to finish out a hole. That's about the only thing I did. I am not a golfer. I go about once every 2 or 3 years just to remind myself why I'm not a golfer and leave it at that.
So you golf about as often as you wear a suit, right?
yeah, I probably wear a suit even less. And when I do go golfing, I have to make a conscious effort to find a collared shirt so I look golf appropriate. First couple times I actually played, I went on the course and immediately took my shirt off. Was much younger and in much better shape then. I figured I might as well get a tan while I'm shooting 140. and then I learned you're not allowed that's frowned upon. So, you know, the bulk of the allure was gone. I couldn't even get a good even tan while I was out there playing. So, no, fishing is much cheaper. I go to golf courses more to fish than I do to golf. So.
Shirtless golfer and award-winning writer Rick Nolan is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And boy, I got to say, I don't know that I've ever seen a shirtless golfer before. And I've golfed quite a bit, but never have I ever seen a shirtless golfer on the golf course.
Well, you were fortunate enough not to frequent any of the courses I went to rarely because it happened for a while.
Wow. All right. Well, times have changed because you're right. Now I guess they frown upon that sort of thing. But
and now I wouldn't take my shirt off anywhere in public. So everybody's safe now.
Well, they would have to sound the alarm if you did. And speaking of sounding the alarm, that was one of the things that you mentioned we as Cavs fans should be doing. And we need to start worrying because the Cavs are down 3-2 in this best-of-7 series. They, of course, are now on the brink of elimination. And on top of that, the off-season circus could be beckoning if, indeed, this thing comes to an end in a hurry. I want to give you a chance to kind of expand on the piece that you wrote about sounding the alarm and explaining why we really need to start worrying.
Yeah, I think a little bit that got overblown. The sound the alarm was a good headline, and I'll give you the story on that in a second, which I'm sure you read. But I didn't really say it was at time to worry this year. But when you're down 3-2, it is time to worry because if you lose, the season's over. That piece was kind of based on largely while we were interviewing Ty Lue yesterday on a conference call. Sirens started going off on his end of the phone, and you know there's probably 40 or 50 people on this conference call, and we're hearing these sirens. Well, I originally thought that he was talking to us while he was driving his car, and he had gotten pulled over by the police, which would have been bad enough. But it turns out that he actually had set off the alarm on his home, And you can hear him kind of muttering while he's on the phone. He's trying to hold it together. And then he says, hold on, guys, I got to take this call. And he's gone for about 30 seconds, and he comes back. Well, it turns out he had to take the call back from the security company, calling to make sure nobody was actually breaking into his house, that it did, in fact, go off by accident. So that was like, you know, when you get a layup in journalism, you take it. given the fact that it was 3-2, you know, that they've lost three straight in Boston, it, you know, just the whole sound the alarm thing, it just kind of led in right to a story with, you know, just how close this team is to elimination.
Well, and of course, you know, being down 3-2 in this series, you know, LeBron in elimination games has been very, very good. You actually detailed that on Twitter a little bit earlier today. Some eye-popping numbers for LeBron in elimination games. And I know that, look, everything he's done this postseason has definitely been eye-popping. As we go back and look at some of those stats, you know, what exactly is it that stood out to you most about what he has done, or what he has averaged, rather, in these elimination games?
Well, I mean, just that he's always stepped up. And, I mean, if you just go from 2015 on, since he's been back in Cleveland the second time, he's done it. He's averaged 36 points, and he's done it while shooting almost 58% from the floor, which is just unbelievable. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I think it was 10.3 rebounds and 8-point-something assists. You know, I watched James Harden last night go 0 of 11 on three-pointers and 5 of 21 from the field, and nobody really said a word, number one, because they won the game, and number two, because he's not LeBron James. But if LeBron James would ever have a game like that, even if the Cavs won, he'd be crucified. It gets scrutinized a lot as it is, and Brad Stevens actually spoke at length about that at Boston Shootaround today, saying it was a joke that he's held to a different standard than every other player in the league. So I don't have any concerns that LeBron's going to do his part tonight. And, you know, there's some reason to have some faith that the non-Bronze are going to play better than they have in Boston. They've been better in Cleveland. So put those two together, I think they get by tonight, and then anything can happen in Game 7.
Well, that's where I was just going to go with my next question here, Rick. With the way Boston has played on the road this year, particularly in Cleveland, is there a worry that they could possibly win, or do you think this is almost a sure bet? I mean, nothing's a sure bet, but more likely to go back to Boston.
Well, there's always a possibility they could win. They're a good team. They haven't shown it on the road yet, but, you know, there's a first time for anything. If you're them, I think the first thing you have to do is not lose the game in the first quarter, which is what they did in games 3 and 4 here. When you're down 15 and 16 after one, you're fighting an uphill battle most of the night. Game three, they never had a chance. Game four, they made it interesting and had a chance to make it real interesting and just couldn't make any shots. So the longer they stay in the game, the more the pressure mounts on the Cavs, because they're at home, they have the best player in the world, they're supposed to win this game tonight. If Boston can just, you know, make this a 2 or 3 possession game midway through the fourth quarter, you never know what might happen, because one or two key shots or one lucky play or one bad call can decidedly swing things in Boston's favor. So I don't think it's a lock the Cavs win, but you know, Vegas has them winning. Vegas, you know, is pretty in tune when they give point spreads. And I think the Cavs will win, but I wouldn't put it at, you know, 99% or anything like that. I just think they've been the better team at home, and Boston's been the better team when they've been at home. So, but you still got to go out there and play the game. You don't win just by showing up at Quicken Loans Arena if you're the Cavs. You got to play with a lot more intensity and desire and make more shots than you have in some games in this postseason.
Why is it that the home team has had such an advantage in this series? I know Ty Lue was kind of asked that the other day and said the fan base really helps you out a lot. Is that true? I mean, is it just the fans and the loudness of your stadium?
I think that's some, and I think it applies more to Boston than even the Cavs. I think the bigger thing is that other than game two, the home team has had a pretty big lead pretty quickly in most of these games, and they've built off that. They've been able to play with more confidence. They've been able to play looser. You can tell if you watch enough NBA basketball, it's a lot easier to make an open shot or even take an open shot when you're up 18 than when you're up two or down five. And that's what one team or the other, that's the position they've been in for a decent chunk of this series. They've had comfortable leads where one mistake isn't going to kill you. And if you make it, it expands that lead even more. So I actually thought, that game five in Boston would be way tighter than it was. And the Cavs had a chance to make it that way in the fourth quarter when they got that 9-0 run to get within 12. But then they had, four or five more possessions after that to get closer and didn't. And once Boston was able to make a couple shots, that pressure eased up considerably from that point.
Again, we're talking Cavs with Rick Nolan to the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rick, is it safe to say that we expect to see a little bit more of Kyle Korver tonight, regardless of who Boston decides to rotate out there?
Yeah, I hope that Ty Lue's not waiting for Boston to put number 37 in, because he might not enter the game again. I actually tweeted out late in the third quarter of game five, is there some type of rule that Kyle Korver's not allowed to play in odd-numbered quarters? and then Ty Lue finally put him in late in the third again. He's been very good in the two games at Cleveland in this series. He's had 14 in both of them, all in the first half in game four. That's why, to your earlier question, I think he is the guy most likely to step up and help LeBron and Kevin Love.
Well, speaking of Kevin Love, I mean, there's got to be a way the Cavaliers can get him going. Rick, he was great in the first few minutes of that game a couple nights ago. He was outstanding. He scored 8 of the Cavs' first 10 or 11 points. And I thought, all right, here we go. We got a good, aggressive Kevin Love. And then all of a sudden, he just disappeared.
I like Kevin Love as a player, so I want to preface it with that. But he was great because he made 2 3-pointers, one of them from 7 feet behind the line, and managed to finish a post move that didn't look real great, but ultimately was successful. I think with him, when he gets the ball in the post, he just appears so uncomfortable all of a sudden, and it's even against 6'5" guys like Jaylen Brown or 6'4" guy like Marcus Smart, he's just really struggling to complete plays. Honestly, I think he needs to gain back about 20 pounds and become a more legit post player for this team in the future, but that's looking way down the road. He could play well tonight because he's a rhythm player. And, if he gets a good start going and gets confidence, then he could start making everything. But what I've noticed with him is that when things start to go bad, they rarely flip back to good. So you've got to keep the good going as long as possible, because I think he's a player that needs confidence to be successful. And I think for a guy who's been an all-star 5 times in this league, it still tends to go away fairly quickly, especially in the postseason, in big games, this year at least.
No, there's no question. Yeah, you're right. Those performances most definitely come in waves. And I agree also that a lot of times when he loses it, and he never really seems to find a way to get it to come back. Rick, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate the time. And if the Cavaliers can continue to play well and if they can keep the season alive, we'll definitely have to have you on again next week. And hopefully a week from now, we're talking about the NBA Finals.
Sounds great. We'll talk to you then, maybe.
Hopefully.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram and Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. That was classic.